Leviticus chapter 1. Reading verses 1 through 17. Leviticus chapter 1. This is the word of the Lord. The Lord called Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of livestock from the herd or from the flock. If his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer a male without blemish. He shall bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting, that he may be accepted before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Then he shall kill the bull before the Lord, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall bring the blood and throw the blood against the sides of the altar that is at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Then he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. And the sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire on the altar and arrange wood on the fire. And Aaron's sons the priest shall arrange the pieces, the head and the fat on the wood that is on the fire on the altar. But its entrails and its legs he shall wash with water, and the priest shall burn all of it on the altar as a burnt offering, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. If his gift for a burnt offering is from the flock, from the sheep or goats, he shall bring a male without blemish, and he shall kill it on the north side of the altar before the Lord. And Aaron's sons, the priest, shall throw its blood against the sides of the altar, and he shall cut it into pieces with its head and its fat, and the priest shall arrange them on the wood that is on the fire on the altar. But the entrails and the legs he shall wash with water, and the priest shall offer all of it and burn it on the altar. It is a burnt offering, a food offering, with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. If his offering to the Lord is a burnt offering of birds, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or pigeons, and the priest shall bring it to the altar and wring off its head and burn it on the altar. Its blood shall be drained out on the side of the altar. He shall remove its crop with its contents and cast it beside the altar on the east side in the place for ashes. He shall tear it open by its wings, but shall not sever it completely. And the priest shall burn it on the altar, on the wood that is on the fire. It is a burnt offering, a food offering, with a pleasing aroma to the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Why should we read the book of Leviticus? If you've ever tried to read the book of Leviticus, you probably slept through most of it. Why should we read the book of Leviticus? Of what use is the book of Leviticus to us? More than one chapter is devoted to itching diseases of the skin. Another chapter concerns household mold. Perhaps that chapter is relevant to us given the current condition of our basement. But really, of what use is the book of Leviticus to us? Chapters about itching diseases, chapters about mold. Should we read the book of Leviticus? Is it of use to us?
Yeah.
We know, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is breathed out by God, that all Scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And so Leviticus, as Scripture, is profitable for us. We know, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, that even these things were written down for our instruction, for us on whom the end of the ages has come. Is it true for Leviticus? Is it written for our instruction? Does it apply to us? After all, it concerns a priesthood that has passed away. It concerns a tabernacle that has passed away. It concerns sacrifices that have passed away. You do not have a Levitical priest in your midst. You do not worship God at the tabernacle. You do not bring the blood of bulls and goats before Him. All these things have passed away with the coming of Christ. All these things have passed away with the death and resurrection of Christ. You have a better covenant. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. You have a better high priest who serves a better tabernacle through a better sacrifice. Jesus is your high priest. He serves as your high priest in the heavenly tabernacle, and He serves there for your sake through the sacrifice of Himself, a sacrifice offered once for all. What use to you then are these regulations concerning a priesthood that has passed away, concerning a tabernacle that has passed away, concerning sacrifices that have passed away? Perhaps the book of Leviticus is of no use to you other than to point you to Christ, to His priestly service, to His sacrifice. And there is truth in that. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, the service of the Levitical priests in the tabernacle, it was a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things. It was a copy and a shadow of the better things to come, the things that have come in Christ. And we will certainly see throughout the book of Leviticus that everything written here, everything written in this book, it all finds its fulfillment in Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. But that does not mean that everything written here concerns only Christ. Everything finds its fulfillment in Christ, but it does not all concern only Christ. For what did Christ come to do? What did Christ come to do but to save a people for Himself? What did Christ come to do but to bring a people near to God? Leviticus reveals not only the means by which you are saved, it certainly reveals that. It reveals the way in which you have been brought near to God. But Leviticus does not only reveal the means by which you are saved, it also reveals the purpose for which you have been saved. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2, to worship the Lord in holiness. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 11, to enjoy communion with the Lord. I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. To enjoy communion with one another in the Lord. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. All these things are revealed to you in the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus, it is not only a book about regulations that have passed away, it is a picture of life in the kingdom of God. It is a picture of the Lord dwelling with his people. It is a picture of your fellowship with God. It is a picture of your fellowship with one another. The book of Leviticus is a picture of life in the kingdom of God. It is a picture of God dwelling in your midst. Leviticus comes after Exodus. And what is the last thing to happen in Exodus? How does the book of Exodus end? Exodus chapter 40. The tabernacle is built. Verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till that day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. The book of Exodus ends with God coming down and dwelling in the midst of his people. And now in the book of Leviticus, we get a picture of the people of God and their life with God dwelling in their midst. The book of Leviticus is a picture of life in the kingdom of God. The book of Leviticus is then a picture of your life in the kingdom of God. It is a picture of life in the kingdom of glory. It is a picture of your life as it will be. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You will be made perfect in holiness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. When Christ presents you to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that you might be holy and without blemish. The Lord will walk in your midst. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. This is your hope The reason for which you have been saved, Leviticus reveals this hope to you. Leviticus reveals this hope to you, a hope that has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And so Leviticus, it concerns Christ. It concerns his kingdom, but it also concerns his people. It concerns what kind of people he has saved you to be. What kind of people has he saved you to be? An angry people? A people who grumble? A people who complain? A prideful people? What kind of people has he saved you to be? He has saved you to be a holy people. A holy people dwelling with God, worshiping God, serving God, loving God and one another. You cannot say, I will love God, but I won't love his people. You cannot say, I will love Christ, but not his church. No, you must love both. You must love what God loves. You must love what Christ loves. You must love one another. Leviticus is of much use to you. It has been given for your instruction, to reprove you, to correct you, to train you, to teach you, to build you up in righteousness, to build you up in holiness. Last Lord's Day, we said that your salvation does not depend upon you. That you are not saved because of what you have done for God. That salvation depends upon God. That you are saved because of what He has done for you. That is not revealed in the New Testament alone. It is revealed in all of Scripture. It is revealed in the Old Testament. It is revealed in Leviticus. The regulations of Leviticus, they do not precede the salvation of Israel. The people of God do not follow these regulations in order that they might be saved by God. The regulations of Leviticus, they follow the salvation of Israel. They concern the life of salvation for Israel. What does God say to his people in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 12? I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. What does he then say? Verse 13, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect. The life of Leviticus, it does not precede salvation. The life of Leviticus follows salvation. It concerns the enjoyment of salvation. It concerns life in the kingdom of God. It concerns life with God dwelling in your midst. A life not of slavery, but a life of freedom, true freedom, biblical freedom. And what is that? What is freedom? What is true freedom? What is biblical freedom? Not a life of doing whatever you please. But a life of doing what is pleasing to the Lord. The life of the kingdom of God and glory. In that life, you will only be able to do what is pleasing to the Lord. And then you will be perfectly free. Book of Leviticus. It concerns a life of freedom, a life of deliverance from bondage, a life of deliverance from slavery, a life of freedom in the Lord to do what pleases the Lord. The book of Leviticus concerns life with the Lord. The Exodus, deliverance out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, it was for this purpose, that God's people might dwell with Him upon His mountain. Leviticus concerns this hope. Leviticus describes this hope. The life of God with His people, God dwelling with them, God walking among them. Leviticus does not precede salvation. Leviticus follows salvation. It concerns the life of salvation. And so even as Leviticus reveals that your salvation does not depend upon you, even as Leviticus reveals that your salvation does not depend upon what you do, it also reveals that your salvation includes what you do. God has saved you, not because you are a righteous people, but that you might be a righteous people. God has saved you not because you are a holy people, but that you might be a holy people. God has saved you not because you loved Him. He saved you while you were yet enemies. God has saved you not because you love Him, but that you might love Him, that you might love Him and one another. That you might let go of your pride. And be humble before one another. That you might not have to have the last word. That you might let go of envy and rejoice with one another. That you might let go of strife, of bitterness, of jealousy, of discontentment. You might not hold a grudge against one another. That you might forgive one another as Christ has forgiven you. That you might be patient with one another. as Christ has been patient with you. That you might serve one another. That you might serve one another as God has served you. The God who created you, the God who is Lord over you, humbling himself to serve you. What kind of people has he saved you to be, if not a people that loves one another? Leviticus calls you to become the people God has saved you to be. Leviticus calls you to become who you are in Christ. A chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Your sanctification does not depend upon you. Your becoming holy does not depend upon you. It depends upon God. It is not your work, it is the work of God. But that work of God, it includes you and your work. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The book of Leviticus, it calls you to be that people that God has saved you to be, a holy people. It describes for you the life of offering sacrifice that is pleasing to the Lord. There is no offering more pleasing to the Lord than the offering of Christ. But your spiritual sacrifices offered in Christ, they are also a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Why should we read the book of Leviticus? Because God calls you to be a holy people. Why should we read the book of Leviticus? Because you have made it your aim to please him in everything that you do. People of God, be holy, as the Lord your God is holy. And give him the glory, and give him the praise. You are a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Amen. Let us pray.